Welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show. This is Dr. Mystery, your host, joined always with my excellent co-host, Donna Lee.
Hello, welcome everybody. So we have a little bit of new equipment and I get very excited because it's all super fancy from what I'm looking at.
We'll see. Everything was pretty good before.
It was not.
I'm a board certified urologist. This is a men's health show. We have been giving you this show for almost 2.5 years now.
Almost three years now. Yeah.
We've gotten great feedback from our listeners. I love hearing from our nurses and doctors in the operating room telling us how much they enjoy listening to the show.
Oh.
I'm a working urologist, so this is just a side gig.
And this isn't your main gig?
Every week, some patient will come in and tell me some other myth that they thought was going on with the show. And this week, I heard that, does Donna really work for you, or do you just hire her out?
Oh, to do dirty things?
I don't know. For what I'm paying her, I'm not getting much.
Oh, nor is Michael.
That's right. So Donna has been with the practice for what, 7 years?
Almost 6 years.
6 years. Yeah. She's got six little sperm pins. We give you a sperm pin for every year that you're with us here in our clinic.
Makes for good small talk at the gas station.
Which is funny because every time I stop at the gas station with our truck with our logo on it, somebody talks to me about their testicular pain.
I bet, because it's got a big old set of balls hanging off the back.
It does have a big set of balls. Our practice and this show is brought to you by NAU Urology Specialist. We have four offices. We have four physicians. We have five mid-level providers, two pelvic floor physical therapists, sex therapy, health coach, and a really holistic view of how we're going to take care of you as our patient. We love your questions. Donna, how do people get a hold of us?
You can reach out to us to armormenshealth.com. You can submit your questions there and find out if I really am an employee, if I'm a real boy. And you can call us during the week at 512-238-0762. You can even ask for me, which happens now every week. People call and ask for me, so that's nice. I can help answer your questions because I'm a doctor.
That's right. No, you're not. The questions that you send us really mean a lot to us. It's especially engaging that people will remember our email address, armormenshealth@gmail.com, and then ARMOR. And then send us emails when they get out of their car. So, Donna, what's the question we got?
We have a pretty recent question. We have a little backlog, so I apologize on the wait for some of these folks, but we will get to you, I promise. This person sent in Gleason score 5+4, PSA 4.6, biopsy positive in 14 out of 18 cores, PET scan showed no metastatic spread, genomic score 0.99, surgery 2 weeks ago. Pathology showed all lymph nodes clear, margins clear, and no spread to surrounding tissues. One nerve bundle spared. Age 74, very little incontinence. If my PSA in 4 weeks is zero, would you recommend any follow-up radiation or ADT chemotherapy? My surgeon is reluctant to damage healthy tissues or tissue unnecessarily. I agree, but I also don't want any stray cancer cells to escape. Almost done. My Decipher score indicates 34% positive response to ADT and 94% positive response to chemo.
Well, that's
I didn't understand any of that.
That's fine. So I'll just kind of break it down. So this 74-year-old man had a PSA that was just barely high.
Right.
And what he was gifted with for a barely high PSA was a terrible disease. He has a very aggressive prostate cancer that was probably taking over most of his prostate. 14 of 18 cores is a pretty significant disease.
Oh.
If he was in good shape, meaning he was active and able to, you know, pretty healthy, you know, even though he was over the age of 70, I would have offered him a radical prostatectomy as well, and that's what this patient got. More than likely, he had a robotic radical prostatectomy. That's the way that most of us do these surgeries nowadays.
Okay.
It takes about 2 hours. It's done in a hospital. My patients stay overnight, but many doctors now are sending patients home the same day. I think that it's just nicer to stay in the hospital overnight and get some extra care, but that doesn't really change anything. You keep a catheter for between 10 days and 2 weeks, depending on your surgeon, and the catheter comes out. So this patient just had his catheter out, and luckily he's dry because impotence and incontinence are the two side effects that most people associate with a radical prostatectomy. And that's kind of what makes people not want to do it because of that. But there's really no solution for prostate cancer that's better than surgical removal. So although it's a pretty radical, as we say, approach to the surgery or to your prostate cancer, it is the solution that leads to cure at the highest rate. It's an amazing thing that this patient had negative margins and negative lymph nodes and a negative PET scan because such an extensive Gleason's 9 cancer oftentimes have spread. And this listener is very astute in thinking that maybe there's something microscopic that may have already spread and that maybe doing something more aggressively to kind of kill anything that could have gotten out mm-hmm. is in his best interest. Mm. So he's very smart to think that. So when we do this surgery, we have lots of little tests that we can do. So this patient had what's called a Decipher test. That's on the actual prostate specimen that was removed surgically. We can look at the genes. It's really cool. We do these tests where we look at the genes and see whether this is a more aggressive Gleason's 9 or a less aggressive Gleason's 9. And it gives us some insight into whether or not we should do radiation early or late to kill anything that might have been left behind. So
is that new, that gene test?
That's it. The gene test and the introduction of this kind of way of thinking about when to do treatment is certainly in the last 10 years, which may not seem brand new, but it's pretty brand new. It may seem like all doctors read the same books, but it's not really the case. If you've graduated or you've been in practice for 10 or 15 or 20 years, the way that you practice medicine is more similar to the way you learned it. And that's true of a lot of people. It's not just true of urologists. But the data and the information and the change in practice pattern starts with the academic doctors who are in big universities. It flows to their people that they're teaching that just come out.
Mm-hmm.
So although the people that just come out of training may know the latest and greatest, that doesn't mean they can do the latest and greatest because they're just babies, you know. they gotta learn where they're how to tie their scrub still in practice. So although they may have a lot of book knowledge, some of the really important knowledge of kind of how to take that book knowledge and really put it upon patients is important. And this is a great example of how sometimes book knowledge and patient care knowledge can change. So what have we derived from this listener? He is very, very, very much wanting to live.
Yeah, very knowledgeable about his health.
And he wants to live.
Yeah.
And he wants to take the most aggressive course of action to try to kill any cancer that might be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say to this listener is that going early with androgen deprivation therapy, which is to take away all your testosterone, is probably not the greatest idea.
Because
number one, he seems like he's pretty young, healthy, and like virile.
Mm-hmm.
And taking away all your testosterone is going to make you feel
tired,
pretty tired, you know.
Yeah.
Hot flashes, you know, your breasts are going to grow. You're going to feel fatigued. You're going to be Donna, essentially.
Wow.
Except with not as great hair.
That's right. Or big boobs.
And so going with androgen deprivation therapy when there's no cancer that you can see is probably, in my opinion, going to make you feel worse than it's going to make things better. Same with the chemotherapy. Another thing, and although I don't know your specific case, the fact that you had such a bad disease and such a low PSA, just barely over 4,
right,
makes me believe that maybe your cancer does not make PSA quite like you would expect. Because sometimes the worst cancers, the worst prostate cancers, they forget that they're prostate. They don't even know they're prostate. They might think they're some other organ. So they forget to make PSA.
So the number just doesn't change.
So in some people, the PSA is not a very good judge of how aggressive your cancer is. And this particular listener, I would put him in that category. Because you would expect such an extensive disease to have a PSA of 15 or 20 or at least 8 or 10.
Right.
Certainly not 4. And so with that in mind, sometimes when we have a patient where the PSA is not a very good marker of prostate mass, those patients don't respond to androgen deprivation therapy as well either. So if I were the doctor for this particular listener, I would recommend waiting a little longer, you know, maybe 3-6 months. And then he gave us some conclusions of his Decipher test. But the one part that he didn't tell us is, what is the likelihood that he would respond well to early radiation therapy? And that piece of paper that he's going to get is going to tell him that. So if it says that there's more than a 30% chance that he would benefit from early radiation therapy, then I would do it.
Okay.
Because number one, he had a bad cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the genomics will support it. And number three, he, in his email does seems very aggressively wanting to kind of be proactive about getting rid of anything that might be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not leaking, which is the biggest reason not to do radiation early, I would say go for it.
Wow.
What a great question.
That was good.
Donna, before we take a break, how do people get a hold of us?
Reach out to us at 512-238-0762. Our website, again, is armormenshealth.com, where you can submit your questions that we'll answer anonymously, just like these. And you can listen to our podcasts wherever you listen to free podcasts. Please follow us, download us. We've had over 160-something thousand downloads, so be part of the party. Thanks so much.
Hello and welcome back to the Armour Men's Health Show. Once again, this is Dr. Mystery, board-certified urologist and your gracious host, joined always with our business development manager for our practice, Donna Lee.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Armour Men's Health Show. I said the hour the other day, Armour Men's Health Hour. We used to be an hour.
We used to be an hour, no, but really we're four 15-minute segments. It was very confusing to the people that are helping us.
We had a guy overseas that listened to an 11-minute podcast and he said, I'm confused as to why your show is called the Armour Men's Health Hour, because I'm listening to 10, 11-minute segments.
Because this is America. Things go so fast. We do an hour and 11 minutes. I'm a board-certified urologist. This show is brought to you by NAU Urology Specialist, the practice that I started in 2007 here in the Austin metropolitan area. Donna, how do people become our patient? Because we do see patients, lots of
them. Well, first you need to be patient because we're a little busy, but you can call us to become a patient at 512-238-0762. Please have your insurance card ready. I think patients forget that we have to take all of the information. And when I talk to vasectomy patients, that's just a foreign thing. They'll text me, hey, I want a vasectomy on this day. Thank you. And that's all I get. So we'll need more information when you call us, and you can reach out to us through our website. It's armormenshealth.com. That will link you to our parent company, which is NAU Urology Specialist, so you can see all of our services and providers and stuff.
That's funny that they do that, because we try to make the vasectomy experience so easy and seamless. It's a single visit, so you don't have to make two visits like most people have to. You get IV sedation here, so you don't have to worry about picking up any medicines before you get here. We even have jock straps for sale here. We try to make it so easy.
Right.
And they still just want it so there's just a hole in the wall and you just have to stick it in there and just get it done and drive away.
Is that like a... What is that? That's dirty, right?
I don't know what that is.
It's when you... Anyway, okay.
You're older than I am. You know some things that I don't know.
By like a month and a few years.
Okay.
Well, we have more questions.
Let's go with another question.
All right. Well, we just talked about the previous person's PSA and prostate cancer issues. This patient sent in a question, says, hi, on March of this year, I was told that I had an enlarged prostate and as a result had a urolift done. I was told that I would be good to go in about 3 days. I ended up going to the emergency room, for being unable to urinate and consequently put on a catheter. Ever since then, I'm having bladder leakage issues. I was given medication and recently had Botox done of the bladder, probably not his face. None of these are working, and I'm asking for your guidance. Please respond to this email, and thank you for your help.
Well, that's great, and you were wrong. It has nothing to do with PSA or prostate cancer.
No, so he said enlarged prostate.
You really paired two questions that don't match.
No, he said enlarged prostate.
It's going to make it very hard to put a title for this podcast episode.
It's going to be called All of the Above Regarding Your Prostate.
Okay, very good. Let's first start with, and remember for those listeners out there, I'm just getting like whatever you email us. And I'm not even reading the email. I'm just listening to whatever Dawn is telling me. So half the time she can't even pronounce the words
right. I can't.
So in this case, we have somebody who says they were diagnosed with an enlarged prostate, who got a urolift. And a urolift is a way of taking care of, quote-unquote, BPH, using these special sutures with two clips on it that kind of move the lobes of the prostate away, out of the way of the urethra, to allow you to have a clear flow. First, I'm going to start with the fact that when you're diagnosed with an enlarged prostate, really, how big your prostate is has nothing to do with what your symptoms are. So you can have a very tiny prostate and still have urinary symptoms, or a big prostate and not have any symptoms. When you are diagnosed with an enlarged prostate, what we're saying really is either somebody put their finger in your rectum and found that your prostate was larger than they felt their finger test would say is normal. But really, what they're feeling and how big your prostate are really have no correlation with one another. The only way to really know how big your prostate is was with an ultrasound or an MRI. This patient had symptoms, either a slow flow, urgency and frequency, or incomplete emptying, and their urologist felt that a urolift was the best option. You're supposed to be able to pee immediately afterwards because the urolift doesn't actually block anything, and this particular patient, 3 days later, wasn't able to pee. What could have happened is swelling from the urolift because of the procedure caused some blockage of the urinary system, and then they had to have a catheter placed. And then the patient says subsequently they developed urinary incontinence. Now, all of that doesn't sound right. None of that sounds right.
No.
Number one thing is, if you put something in and it makes everything worse, you should take that thing out.
That's what she said.
You know, if it's not working for you, you got to get that sucker out.
Yeah.
And although, again, because I don't know this particular case, I will say that one of the most common complications of a UroLift can be that one of the clips accidentally was placed in the bladder.
Oh, no.
And if it's in the bladder, it can cause you to have irritation and cause you to leak. And the Botox is certainly not the right way to go about it.
Oh, really?
Now, I don't think that most urologists would have made that mistake. So I'm guessing that the leakage was already there to start with. That's what I'm
okay,
guessing.
Good.
I'm guessing the leakage was pre-existing.
Oh, okay.
Because any patient that gets if you have A and you do B and now your symptoms are C, you cannot discount the fact that your intervention could have caused it.
Hmm.
And the nice thing about the UroLift is that it's reversible. I mean, you can cut those clips out, especially if you did the UroLift and you know where the clips are.
Oh.
But oftentimes I get patients who had a UroLift done elsewhere and I don't know where they are. So I got to like go hunt them all down.
Oh.
So we'll read the operative note, get an idea of where they might be, how many clips we're supposed to find. And although you cannot remove all the components of the UroLift, you can remove a good portion of them. I've had a few patients that had severe reactions to the UroLift. The clip is made of a substance called nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, way in the beginning when we did UroLifts,
people are allergic?
You had to have a nickel allergy test.
Oh.
But then the number of people that were allergic was so low, they stopped requiring it. But there's some people out there that are allergic to nickel, right? And so both of those patients that I've had over the years that you put the UroLift in and almost immediately they're miserable.
Oh.
And so then we go back and take them out and they're perfectly fine.
What's the backup then to UroLift with nickel?
Ironically, in the process of removing it, you actually remove a lot of prostate tissue and they pee great.
Oh, stop.
So,
that's funny.
So if for this listener, and for those of you still paying attention, if you had a procedure done and you had a UroLift put in and you were only since the UroLift did you have problems, then you know, let your urologist or let me take it out.
Oh.
And let me cut them out. If the leakage was pre-existing,
mm-hmm.
then you might need both. You might need a more extensive surgery on your prostate
mm-hmm.
and the Botox. Both together might help.
Mm.
And the
Botox is of the bladder.
That's correct.
For the folks who don't know why we keep talking about Botox.
Botox. So we want to get those wrinkles out of the bladder.
Mm-hmm. The bladder.
Botox is a medication that works on smooth muscle tissue to stop it from contracting. That's what causes wrinkles
mm-hmm.
in our forehead. It can cause, that contraction can lead to discomfort in the neck, causing migraines. So we use Botox in the neck for migraines.
And the armpits for sweat.
And then the smooth muscle that goes around sweat glands, you can put Botox around those to cause them to not contract either. And that helps you with not sweating.
Mm-hmm.
And in the bladder, and we use it in people with neurologic issues where contraction of smooth muscle, and even in that case, even some non-smooth muscle can cause contraction of the limbs. So that they don't completely extend. And in the bladder, we use it to help us, the bladder not overly contract or feel like there's a lot of urgency. And that helps with urge incontinence.
Hmm.
Now, I assumed that this patient was having urge incontinence. If he was having stress incontinence, which means that he's leaking when he coughs and sneezes and gets out of a chair,
mm-hmm.
then that means that the UroLift damaged his sphincter. And although, again, I think it's highly unlikely, the way we put these in makes it less likely to injure the sphincter. And it's just very unlikely that his sphincter was injured. But if his sphincter was injured, then that's a whole nother, you know, ball of yarn.
Why is sphincter a funny word?
Because you think of your butthole every time.
Booty hole. That's true. And the taint.
Sorry, kids. We are adults.
Don't forget the taint.
We are.
Oh, we got a complaint about that. I forgot to tell you.
We are adults.
We had a lady call in who said, our show is ridiculous, the commercials are embarrassing, and we've lost all of the respect of the community. I said, don't listen to the show, lady.
Yeah, please don't listen to the show.
Just turn it off.
Lost the respect of the community. Tell our six-month wait list.
Exactly.
How do people get a hold of us to join that wait list?
You can call us at 512-238-0700. Sorry. 512-238-0762. Oh, that was a perfect response. Thank you. I needed that because I was angry at that lady. Our website is armormenshealth.com. And then our podcast, listen to our podcast wherever you listen to free podcasts. They are amazing. And you can download them and share them with your friends, the friends you don't like or the friends you like.
The best part about that lady is she had to have listened to part of the show, gotten offended, and then waited to the end to get our phone number.
That is correct.
I think she doth protest too much.
Bless her. I did call her, but she didn't call me back. So call me back, lady. Again, armormenshealth.com. Give us your questions like these, and we'll answer them anonymously. And thank you so much, Dr. Mystery.
The Armor Men's Health Hour is brought to you by urology specialists. For questions or to schedule an appointment, please call 512-238-0762 or online at armormenshealth.com.